The pericope of scripture that I've chosen for this morning is Psalm 31. Psalm 31. And my text will be the first part of verse 15. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I've hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them securely in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. My text, verse 15, the first part, my times are in thy hand. The grass withers, the flower fades, but our word of God stands forever. May he bless the reading and the preaching of it. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thy word is a lamp unto our feet. We've experienced terrible things in this past year, especially with the COVID pandemic. unable even to worship for several weeks. And we do not know what will happen in the future. But by thy word preached, we pray that we may have comfort and encouragement and, yes, even confidence as we step into this new year. For thou art with us, and thou dost hold us in thine hands. Blessed is thy name. Amen. My text this morning is a text that we ran across, my wife and I, in our devotions a couple weeks ago. In fact, it was just a couple days ago as we were driving home by a driveway along the road. This sign was predominantly set forth. My times are in thy hands. So this week, last night, and now again this morning, we mark time, don't we? And it's good to mark time. Because God often, from the circumstances in our lives, teaches us things. Sometimes he teaches us very loudly. For example, when there's an illness in our life, or when we run into financial difficulty, or perhaps we or someone else we know falls into a grievous sin, or the death of a loved one. But God, from his word, interprets these lessons for our lives. Difficult things happen in our lives, and they will happen again in the future. The psalmist in Psalm 90 recognizes that whether we're 70 years old or even by reason of strength 80 years old, our lifespan is filled with difficulty and trouble. So as we met as a church last night and now meet again this morning, we listen to our God. What does he have to say? As we met last night, hopefully we looked at God's faithfulness to us in this past year. Or we looked at the past year with our own sins and we made a confession of those sins. We're sorry, Father. And now this morning, as we look into the future, confidence, trust. We are full of hope. Dependence. We look at what the Word of God has to say so that we may leave these events and learn from them. So my sermon title is Confession Concerning Our Lives. A confession concerning our lives. Notice, first of all, it's a confession regarding time. Second of all, it's a confession regarding the hand of the Lord. And then thirdly, the comfort and the hope that we have from God's word. Time. How quickly it passes, especially as you get older, as I am. And now for my wife and myself, we're in the time of transition from one labor to another place of labor. And immediately we need to recognize that we are not in control of that, of time, are we? We do not have that power to change things, either in the past or what's going to happen in the future. The psalmist says in Psalm 90, verse 12, "So teach me to number my days, so that we may get a heart of wisdom." Time marches on. And at times it even seems like it is in control of us. How the years fly. Perhaps at times you, like I, would like to push the reverse button or the back button like I do on my CD player. Push the past. I would like to repeat something over. I think of how often my dear mother would utter in her older age, if only I could go back and change some things. But we can't, can we? Or as I get older, I might like to push that pass button so that I was back into my healthier strength, more strength and energetic energy. But I can't do it. Maybe you'd like to push the pause button. As your children grow up and you face those teenage years when quite often there is rebellion as the kids try to seek their own independence, oh, to push that pause button. Just keep them in the home and young for a little while longer. Or perhaps you'd like to push the forward button. I can remember being in high school and then thinking there's another 4 years of college and there's another 4 years of seminary. I'd like to push the forward button so that I would be right away a preacher. Or as I step outside and shiver in the cold and the snow, I'd like to push the forward button so that we have spring and summer here. But I can't do that because you and I are not in control. And the psalmist is teaching this as we know it by experience. We are not in control of time, but time also is not in control of us. It might seem that way when we sing that stanza as we did. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. Time is not a vicious cycle just repeating itself over and over. It is not the case that nations just rise and fall. But as Daniel was caused to see in his life, the kingdoms rise and fall, and they must fall because there is one kingdom, a kingdom that comes down from above and fills the whole earth. It is the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not merely a vicious cycle of when people are born, they're young, they grow older, feeble, and then die. No, time is not a matter of just chance or fate so that we act like Stoics. And we say, well, I don't know what time is going to bring, but I'm just going to bear up with it. Nor do we act like the Epicureans and say, well, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for today we live and tomorrow we die. Time is a creature. There is a beginning of time, and there will be an end of time. Time was created by God. When? Well, we read in our Bibles on the very first day, in the beginning, God there created time. Time is a creature then, created as a servant of Jehovah God, created in order to carry out God's eternal plans and purposes. And as time began, so also time will end. Now each day begins with a sunrise and a sunset. But one day there will be no more night. Have you thought about time as God's creature? Maybe one of his greatest creatures. As I said, you can't stop it. You can't reverse it. You can't push forward. God's creature, created in order to serve God's purpose and given to us in order that we have opportunities to live for God, to serve Him. The wicked grow in their sin, their rebellion, fitting themselves for hell. But God's children, in time, are being shaped that, are being guided, are being directed, are being prepared for heaven. Oh, what opportunities time gives us. There's a song that goes, day by day, and with every moment, time is given to us. Not for us to use just for ourselves, not to walk in sin. Time is given to us that we may serve the Lord. Many don't want to hear that, do they? They like to ignore their past. They like to think that the future is in their own hands. Life is whatever you make of it. They fear the future. Or they just live for the day. But there is coming an accounting, isn't there? Everyone is going to have to give an account of their lives, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, whether they have done good or evil. So time is a creature of God. And notice in our text, now the psalmist speaks of time in the plural, doesn't he? My times are in thy hand. My times, plural. What does it mean? It means that there are seasons in our life. There are changes. There is a variety in our life. As David writes this, my times are in thy hand. He can think of that time when he was that little shepherd boy taking care of his dad's sheep out in the pastures and the hills. Or he can think about that time when Samuel came to him and anointed him as a king. He can reflect on that time when he was a soldier, a commander in Saul's army. And he can reflect on those years when he was a stranger, that is, fleeing for his life from Saul. Or there's the time when finally he is made king over Judah and then later on over all of Israel. He can reflect upon the good years when his heart was very near to God. And he reflects on those years when he was proud and he walked in terrible sin. As David is able to look at his life, then its various seasons, so also you and I, as one year ends and another year begins, can look at the variety of changes and times in our life. Often upheavals. What is that, times? Well, our times that the psalmist is speaking about here can be our times as citizens of this particular nation. There's changes, aren't there? There were years when we were trying to be the world's policemen, fighting here and there and for freedom and for democracy, or maybe for our own selfish desires and need for oil. Under President Trump, we had a more inward-looking thing. Let's take care of ourselves and trying to be this policeman of the world. And now the future, things are going to change, aren't they? With the now president-elect Biden, there's going to be a complete reversal. We're going to get back into climate control. We're going to, again, have a president that is very much in favor of abortions, alternate lifestyles, and cooperating with other nations. Our times are in thy hand. There was a time at the beginning of this past year when we were all healthy, but we heard rumors, and then the COVID pandemic, when as a church we couldn't even worship for a couple weeks. Those times. There is the times of our church, isn't it? Plural. There was times when there was great growth in the church. There was times when there were controversies in the church, like 1924 and then 1953. And now, more recently, troubles again in our churches. There was times of relative peace, tranquility. Now there's changes. Now we worship quite often in a lot of our churches one row in between. Hopefully that changes in the future. As there's these differences, this variety in our times as citizens of this nation, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, so also in our individual lives. We were little children with no cares. Then we are young people, young adults, looking forward. What kind of job do I want to do? How long do I want to pursue education? Who will be my life mate? And there is our single or our married life. There's the Middle Ages, where we're rather comfortable. And then comes the senior years, when life becomes more difficult for us. There's a times when maybe our business was running very well, and maybe now that business is shut down for a while. What a variety of circumstances. Saints in our church, isolated. Member of Byron Church, and probably in your church, the husband can't even be with his wife in a convalescent home. Our times. What a variety. There's times as a congregation together, we will rejoice in the birth of a child. There's times together as a congregation when we wept, didn't we? When we stood by the graveside of a loved one. There was times where we witnessed parents claiming God's covenant promises when they had their children baptized. We have seen young people joined together in marriage. And perhaps we've agonized over rebellious sons or daughters or spouses who walked away in sin. How well the preacher in Ecclesiastes summarizes these changes. I'm thinking of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the first 8 verses. To everything there is a season. It's there only for a little while. There is a time to every purpose under heaven. There's the purpose. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. My times, plural. What a variety. And in all these times and these seasons and these changes in our life, we realize how finite we are, how weak we are, how subject we are to the changes that come into our lives. Nothing is fixed. Everything changes. And thirdly, I want you to notice, not only is time a creature, not only is there plural, there's a variety in it, especially trouble, but notice how personal David is here in this psalm. He says, my times are in thy hands. Can't escape it. And not all of them are pleasant, are they? What does David say? Verse 9, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. The belly there as the seat of our emotions. Changes. Life is not all easy. David was fleeing for his life God had anointed him through Samuel to be a king, but he's not a king yet. He is fleeing for his life, and his family and his acquaintances will have nothing to do with him. He writes in verse 12, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. No, we cannot ignore our troubles. When we say my times, we are admitting to then the variety of things in our life, things that we can't control, things that are troubling, disappointing, hurtful. And so the question comes, how can I face these changes? What can I do about these things? There are going to be these changes, these trials, these difficulties, because we are finite, we are weak, we are troubled. We cannot stop it. So my times, you take your own lives, the good and the bad, the easy and the difficult, the happy, the sad, the brief or the dragged out illnesses, the health or the sick, the prosperous times, but also the financial difficult times. We're confessing to this great variety in our lives. As the psalmist says again in Psalm 90, verse 9, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. And there is this trouble we know from Psalm 90 because of sin. Our sin. Sin together as the human race. Life isn't pretty. But we pass these years under God's wrath. My times. Now notice with me in the second point then. There is a confession. And better put, a confidence regarding the Lord's hand or the Lord's face. Notice verse 15 and 16. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. We have there anthropomorphism, don't we? Boys and girls, that big word simply means that in God's word, God and his ways are compared to things in our life that we can identify, that we can see, so that we can better understand our God and what he's doing. That's exactly the way that God made our world. That our earthly things that we see will help us understand spiritual things. Whether it's the sunshine that breaks out in the morning, chasing away the darkness. What a picture that is, isn't it? Of the Lord Jesus coming into this world and our sins dispersed, removed from us. Or when the wind blows against our face, what a picture we have there of the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives. When the rain comes down, what a blessing. What a picture we have there of God's blessings flowing upon us. So now, the psalmist takes a figure. The figure of a hand or of a face, at other times an arm, at other times an ear, to cause us to better understand our God. God is a spirit. God does not have a face. He does not have hands. He does not have an arm or an ear. But a picture to us from our own life experience is something about our God. So take your hand. Yes, look at that hand. That hand is able to hold things, isn't it? That hand is able to grab things, cling to it. That hand is able to point out the direction to someone else. Or that hand is able to stop something from happening. Pictured then in that hand is God. God, who is sovereignly in control and holds all things to good together. God, who stops things from happening. God, who directs us in the way that we should go. Picture to us is God's strength, God's power, God's control, God's direction in our lives. As our hands are very important to us for our livelihood, we see something about our God, how He is absolutely in control of everything in the world, controls time. Do you remember, boys and girls, the story of Joshua fighting? The enemy was not yet defeated, and so God causes the sun to stop in its circuit. Or do you remember King Hezekiah? When the Lord says, you're going to die, and he prays to the Lord in great sorrow. Not because he was afraid of death, but because there was no heir on the throne, the line of David, and therefore Christ Jesus would be cut off. And God causes the shadow of the sun to go backward on the sundial. God is in control. What a beautiful picture then we have on the hands that God has given to us. Not just for our benefit for living our life, but with our hands. We're able to see something about our God. Or the hands, boys and girls, of your father or your mother. Holding you, bracing you, caring for you, feeding you when you are young. We have a picture of our Father in heaven. God is in control. Time is His creature. Serves His purpose, given to us as opportunities to live for Him, to serve Him, to obey Him. God is not controlled by time. But He controls it. What does the psalmist say again? Psalm 90, verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are as but yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. God is sovereign. Time is His servant. The purpose of time. May we grasp that this morning. The purpose of our past life. The purpose that is given to us in giving us a new year again. Everything planned by God in eternity, now being carried out by us and by Him in time. God is in control. God is directing. And beloved, that's everything, isn't it? It's not just our age or our things, but it's even the sins in our life. We fall at times in terrible sin, like David did. Was God in control? God is not the author of sin, is He? But we read of David. Depending on whether you're looking in Chronicles or whether you're looking in the book of Samuel, Satan tempted David to count the people. We read that God caused David to count the people. What a terrible sin it was. And it brought consequences, didn't it? God was humbling David, who was becoming too proud, or the nation that was relying upon itself and its soldiers. Or think a moment of David in his terrible sin with Bathsheba. That too was planned by God, wasn't it? It is in the adultery with Bathsheba that she becomes his wife, and eventually the line of David is followed through that family. David was becoming too complacent. He wasn't even going out with his army any longer to fight. He was sitting in his palace while others were doing the fighting. And yes, getting himself into sin. Job. when afflictions came to him. But as we open up that book and we're able to see what takes place in heaven, God was in control, wasn't he? Job was not in Satan's hand to do whatever Satan wanted to. No, God said, you may go so far, but don't go any further than that. God is in control. And so also in your and my life, isn't it? What comfort. This world that we live in has been around now for 6,000 years. Nations rising, nations falling. But from God's word, may we learn, not a cycle, a vicious cycle that just repeats itself, but as Daniel saw in a vision, there is one kingdom that comes down from above and is going to fill the whole earth. And so in the words of that Negro spiritual, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world. The church. There's trouble, isn't there? What is going to happen this year? When I came into our denomination, I didn't foresee that, and I don't think you did. Now there's trouble. May we have that confidence. God is in control. So again, to use the words of that Negro spiritual, he's got his whole church in his hands. He's got his whole church guiding her, directing her, at times humbling her, teaching her to depend upon him. And then in our personal lives, what sins did we fall into and what temptations lie ahead of us? What illness maybe have we suffered? What death, what sorrow have we gone through? And then may we have the confidence of that Negro spiritual. He's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got you and me, sister. God, sovereignly in control. As we read in Romans 8, verse 28, working all things together for good to them that fear him, that are the called according to his purpose. My times are in thy hand. Now, literally, in Hebrew, it reads different. Unlike the King James Version that puts time first, literally, David wrote, in thy hand are my times. What an expression of confidence, of hope. Terrible things happen in his life. He feels like a broken vessel. But he's able to look up and say, no, this isn't a vicious cycle. No, I'm not held in the hands of my enemies. I'm not held in the hands of Satan. But in thy hand are my times. God is compared to a good shepherd. A shepherd who knows each of his sheep. He knows their character. He knows exactly what each sheep needs. So God knows what each one of you and I need for this coming year. Verse 14 comes before verse 15. What does he say? But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Boys and girls, Lord there, as in verse 1, is all in capital letters. In other words, yes, the Jews put the word Lord there instead of God's name, Jehovah. The psalmist says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Jehovah, the one who changes not. Jehovah, who is from everlasting to everlasting. Jehovah, who is independent. And because he changes not, his word doesn't change, and his relationship to us doesn't change. David says, Thou art my God. In thy hand are my times. What a beautiful confession. Not only is God in control, but he is able to say, My God, the one who knows me as his child, the one who has chosen me, the one who has redeemed me, the one who will deliver me from this life of trouble and sorrow and pain and death. He's my God. And by grace, I am his son or I am his daughter. How beautifully we will sing in our next song, number 383. Ere into being I was brought, thy eye did see, and in thy thought my life in all of its perfect plan was ordered ere my days began. Our way is known to the Lord. Our way is planned by God, and by it, he's going to perfect us. He's going to shape us. He's going to prepare us for glory. So our lives, yes, in 2021, will again be filled with trials and troubles. How long is this COVID pandemic going to last? I can't answer that. I never would have thought it would go this whole year. And now we're entering a new year and still there. But as David wrote in verse 14, But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I don't know what the future holds. But I do know who holds me and my life and his church and the whole world in his hands. Ruling over this world in his power. Ruling over my life and that of the church in his grace. Thou art my God. It is the hands of a loving father. You know, in the Old Testament, the saints there could not call God their father. It would almost sound blasphemous. They charged Jesus with blasphemy for calling God his father. But I want you to notice with me, the psalm that we read is first and foremost a messianic psalm. Yes, David writes it about his life and the trouble in his life and praying for God's deliverance, but he does it as a type. A type of the Christ who is coming. The Christ who God determined that he would come into this world and suffer and die. And it is through his suffering and his death that you and I are made members of God's family. And it is the Lord Jesus who quotes from this psalm on the cross, doesn't he? His last word from the cross, verse 5, Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Except Jesus adds one more word to it in Luke's gospel, doesn't he? Jesus says, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. And that means that you and I now, as Jesus says, I go to my Father and your Father, my God and your God, we are able to say, it is my Father's hand that holds all my times, that directs my time, that preserves me. Didn't Jesus say that? We find it in John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Can you picture this? God knows each and every one of his sheep. God knows our character. God knows our needs. He has planned our future for us. What an amazing thing. God who is in heaven, where the saints in glory already and the angels takes thought of each and every one of our lives. My times are in thy hand. What, beloved, does that mean for us as we enter this new year? Number one, there is going to be changes in our lives, for our lives are never static. There will be troubles and there will be trials. But those changes and those things are in God's control by His appointment. Have you ever prayed the prayer, "Give me, O Lord, whatever I stand in need of"? That's a dangerous prayer, isn't it? Give me whatever I stand in need of. Boys and girls, would you dare say that to your parents? Give me whatever I deserve. Ouch. That parent might have a foot or a hand on your backside. And isn't that true with our God? When we say, "Give me whatever I stand in need of," yes, Lord, at times I need thy correction. David needed to be humbled. There is a phrase that the Dutch have. The Dutch would say, "We're not stubborn. We're just right." That's stinking pride, isn't it? I'm right. At times, God has to humble us, to teach us and humble us, so that we recognize, no, He is right, and we're quite often wrong. All these changes, sin included in our lives, in order to shape us and to strengthen that Christian character, dependence upon God. God works all things together for good. Second thing, as we look into the future, admire that unchanging God. I change, you change, God doesn't change. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore, His relationship with us, yes, sinners, doesn't change. Thirdly, what a solemn warning. In thy hand are my times. May we listen to the preacher then in Ecclesiastes. I'm thinking of chapter 12, verse 1. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Oh, may we never doubt our God. But with His hand holding all of His elect children, by grace, we don't turn away from Him. But we humble ourselves under His hand. As we read in Psalm 62, we trust in Him at all times. Or again, "Oh, love the Lord, all ye His saints." A solemn warning. Fourthly, take comfort then in all the seasons of your life. I'm going to uproot my life with my wife along with myself in about a month. There will be changes. But God is directing. God is controlling. God is preserving. Some have stood this past week at the graveside of a loved one, Reverend Cordering. Comfort. Comfort for the widow. Comfort for the family. There's purpose in all these things. And then fifthly, hope and trust in the future. Verse 14, "I put my trust in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. And how does this psalm end? David, who is fleeing for his life, has many enemies. Over and over he says, thou hast not given me over to their hand. But he ends the psalm with, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. I don't know, you don't know what this new year holds. But the word of God interprets it and says, take courage. Take courage. He will strengthen thy heart as we hope in him. Amen. Father in heaven, uncertain times that we live in. Uncertain times as a nation. Uncertain times as a church. Uncertain times in our individual lives. But we thank thee that we can direct our lives from the things here on earth, not grasping the things of this earth as being that important in our lives, but confessing that this time is given to us to serve, to shape us, to prepare us for glory, even to long for it. And so, Father, we step forward, our lives in thy hand, trusting, hoping, full of confidence, for thou art with us. Thy rod and thy staff comfort us.